Okay, dear colleagues, I think it's almost 1 minute past the hour. Maybe we can start. Because, again, we have many things. Don't be distracted by our current agenda. We have a little change. I have to change slightly. First of all, because Stephen probably will not be able to join us. He's traveling to APTLD meeting. And I managed to finish first version of the slides for our update during the CTSO meeting day. It would be nice if we could go through that presentation. And then, of course, crowdfunding, that there's actually not much to report at the moment, but we have in Google, we have this council election guideline. Now it's cleaner and we have new comments there. So, it's a slight change of agenda, meaning that everything will be completely different. And, if it's possible, it would be nice to start with the PowerPoint presentation. Just try to summarize everything that we've done between our meeting in Hyderabad and meeting in Copenhagen. So, may I change the slides, or I have to ask you to do that? Okay, thanks. So I can do that. So first, the thing that we done that business of council practice and liaisons and observers, those two are adopted by the council and published online, and we're still working on council elections, role funding, and procedure for exercise empowered communities' rights to reject specified elections. Okay, this will be in more detail explained later. As we presented in Hyderabad, we propose to have improved process, and we already act under the new process. So the two guidelines mentioned before, this council practice and liaison observers, they were sent to the community asking for feedback, and no corrections were received, so they went forward as they were proposed by the GRC. Here we could ask something from the audience if they are happy with the process, and if there are any comments or suggestions for that, for further improvement. So some things that we are be working on in the upcoming month. So, same council elections, travel funding, and we need two guidelines, one about the rejection actions and another approval actions. Some things that probably need to be highlighted. We talk about council elections guideline according to the that's actually our discussion. Try to visualize it a little bit. So according to the bylaws, our council is supposed to take a seat at the annual general meeting. But our in practice, due to different reasons, what happens is they're taking a seat at the first meeting of the year. And we run Q&A sessions with candidates during AGM, and after that we have elections if there are more than one candidate per region. And yeah, Malcolm Campbell saying this at the AGM. Next question is, who do we elect? So why we elect certain people on the council? Is it because they look pretty, or because they work for some specific CCTLD as a employee of a CCTLD, or we elect those who do the work? So this is a slide to illustrate our views, well, because they are currently presented in the guidelines, that we elect individuals in their personal capacity, not as employees of a particular CCTLD. Next one, well, new thing that we introduced in the guidelines, possibility to remove a counselor. So it's at least three CCTLs of members from a particular region can ask for initiate the recall of a particular counselor from their region at least 6 months after elections. Alejandra, I noticed that you asked a question in the Google Doc about this 6 months. I definitely remember I explained that during our last call. It's because, well, it's not normal to elect and immediately recall. I think we should wait for at least half a year for the counselor to show, to prove him or herself. And it's also may be initiated by the FCCNSO Council. Next one, it's about how to fill the entire council. And again, the proposal was at least 15 FCCNSO members from at least three different regions and at least three per region. Then another guideline, it's about empowered community rights, so rejection actions here. They are, as shown in the bylaws and the upcoming laws, the new sections, and we really need to have all the procedures in place. It's about icon budgets and other budgets and plans. Plus, apparently we'll need approval actions because most probably the ICANN board will propose changes in fundamental bylaws, and that will trigger approval actions. So that's why. But probably Stephen will want to say something more. I hope he will highlight a little bit more because he does a lot of he tries to translate the ICANN bylaws into something humanish. And here I just give an example of how horrible this the language in ICANN bylaws is and what it takes to do all the translation. And some interesting things like times, for example, are not in UTC, but calculated by local time at the location of ICANN's principal office. There are there's timelines. So what Stephen does, he also puts everything into perspective and need to understand how to be on time with all our actions and things like that. That's all. Really update. Are there any questions, any suggestions, anything you'd like to add to what we've done? I see you had a lot of some exchange in the chat window. So answering in the as the questions come here. Let's say they are posted in the chat window. First, three per region, that's 5% for North American. Yes, of course, that's true, but they will, in any case, will agree among themselves. And with five of them, it's really not a great record. Small for Asia-Pacific, yes, but at the same time, there's votes, right? And if nobody votes, so it's okay for them to have that counselor there. No sooner than, at least, yeah, maybe better. Bylaws have this something basis. Ben has to comment on the bylaws. Yeah, okay, but I see some hands in Adobe. David, please.
Katrina, thanks. David McCauley here for the transcript. I just wanted to mention that with respect to Stephen's slides on the empowered community rights, I may get together with Stephen and just mention one thing because in my spare time I lead the IRP implementation oversight team. And there are some EC rights with respect to IRPs that I can help Stephen with and maybe include a little bit of language on those two slides. But that's the only point I wanted to make about that. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Well, please feel free to send me any updates. I don't think that Stephen had time to look at these slides. I'm sure he would have something to add to them as well. Mark?
Thanks, Katrina. One fairly trivial point is on slide 4. Now I was looking at the slide set that you sent around earlier, so I don't know whether that was actually being corrected since on what you put up on the screen. But in fact, you've got rigged. Yes, you have there. Third guideline, right at the end of the first line, communities rigged. I think that should be rights and the same thing.
Yes, thanks. That's absolutely correct. I misspelled rights several times in other slides, but I corrected them not on this slide. Yep.
Okay, and then the. Sorry?
No, I just said that my finger states H apparently.
My other point is probably out of scope for this discussion anyway, and that was the comment I put in on the slide set, in the chat room for slide number 8. And really, it's a sort of peculiarity of this system that by going for absolute numbers for regions of quite massively different sizes, you get this sort of ambiguity that you have to get, 75% in North America to remove a councillor who's not performing. But in fact, it's a very, very, very much lower percentage for other regions. I think that is what exists at the moment, but I'm putting my hand up and saying, isn't that actually something that we really ought to be considering? Because the bar is much, much too high in North America and way, way, way too low, probably, in almost every other region. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Well, if you look technically, yes, but I don't think it would be a problem. But I think that I see that Bart has a comment. Yes, please.
Martin, I agree with you to a certain extent. This goes back to the initial discussions when the CCNSO was created. If you may recall, because you were around at the time as well, although not with the CCNSO, say this was one of the real issues around the say regional split among the CCNSO itself. It's not just, say, with respect to the council elections on, say, to remove council. If you see you need to have three councillors from one region, you'll see that, say, the North American have, say, they have a similar kind of issue because, say, there are only five members. So it's almost rotational basis in North America. So it's more to do with the... I would say the makeup of the CCNSO across regional organizations, and there are upsides and downsides to having these numbers in there.
Okay, thanks. Well, in any case, this was just a proposal, and we still have time to discuss it if there are any other suggestions how to make it more fair. But at the same time, well, even if we put a percentage, so the lowest percentage that we can have, it's one member. For North American region, it makes it 20%. And if we ask 20% for AP region, for example, it would be an enormous amount of CCNSO members. It should be easy in all the regions. So, and I think that three is personally, I think that. Three is not one, it's more than one, it's not even two, it's three. And if three members think that a councillor does not perform, they should have a right to at least try to get rid of that person. Martin, please.
Thanks, Katrina. Yeah, I certainly understand the difficulties of trying to find a sensible rule that works across all regions, given the disparate sizes for all regions. And I certainly take Bart's point that here are some and... do we actually, from this group, have a role or responsibility for proposing changes to that rule? But I suppose, really, the issue is that slide 8 is about what you need to trigger a process to decide whether a councillor should be removed. So you'd need to have some number that are prepared to express dissatisfaction with a particular councillor, and before that's going to go forward, I'm assuming that region would then have to vote. And that, in that case, essentially, you're talking about 50% of those people who support, 50% plus one of those people who vote, being dissatisfied with the councillor for moving on to the next step. And in that context, three from the North American region would be, I guess, appropriate, given that that is the smallest number that would give you a majority. Essentially, if all we're doing on this basis, on this slide, is to say, what is it that triggers the process, three from a region at least 6 months after the last elections, and that then goes through the process, then I think the number really needs to, at that stage, have the majority. I'm not sure necessarily that just having three people putting their hand up and saying we're not satisfied with that particular councillor works for any other region. Just sort of trying to give that little bit of the threshold a bit more thought would seem to me to be perhaps a sensible process. And perhaps it's something that we could usefully go around to the regional organisations and ask them whether they've got any specific thoughts about how that might be addressed for their particular region should the occurrence arise. Just at the moment, I suppose we haven't really got any worries because you're not going to shift an American councillor unless at least three people from the region are dissatisfied, and therefore doing that up front, perhaps no bad thing. Thanks.
Okay, so I see here David's comment. Three from North America, they may, whatever the case, so remove a particular counselor. How to explain that? Well, the counselor is elected from a particular region, and only CCSO members from that particular region can remove the counselor. So a North American CCSO members may not request removal of a European counselor, for example. Bart, I see that you have a hand.
May I suggest that, say, without going into the details of say, the removal, that, say, you use a Hyderabad meeting to initiate that discussion with the membership as a first, and maybe even just to solicit their ideas on whether they're comfortable with doing this or whether it needs to be included. Because it's a bit of a follow-up from the... I think at the time the survey, and before going really into details and the consequences, might be good idea just to check with them whether they're really comfortable with it.
No, absolutely. That's the point of the presentation. This is a proposal, something to discuss. We can come up with another proposal, of course.
So put it more in generic terms. Should the members be able to remove a councillor?
Oh, you mean ask if they should be...
As a starting point.
Yeah, we can start with that, sure. Okay, I see there's discussion in...
Otherwise, you may end up in these detailed discussions with the CCNSO members not addressing that principal point.
Yeah, well, right, we can add one more asking. Should the members have the right to remove a particular councillor? And if yes, then what are the thresholds? for to initiate the removal. Yeah, okay, we can change it a little bit. Any other comments, proposals? Something I missed? Maybe we've done something more? No? Nothing? Okay. I will send you an updated version next week. Okay, about the next agenda item is operating standards update. A question, who managed to join the call, well, webinar organized by MSSI, I think, what was the abbreviation? Multi-stakeholder strategy initiatives or something. That's a department within ICANN that deals with the development of these operating standards. So did anyone join the webinar? Martin did not. Okay. Yeah, well, I was there, well, a couple of things. First, they're working on kind of working. They have a more detailed outline of the document. One thing that seemed quite strange and surprising is they decided to have to apply operating standards also to organizational reviews. The bylaws say that operating standards are supposed to guide specific reviews, but they want to extend operating standards to organizational reviews as well. For example, CCNSO is preparing for this process for the review. That was a surprise, and the outcome, it might take forever. It's really wouldn't be that easy. We think that it probably would be much wiser to have operating standards to guide rather sooner than later, because we're already on the third call for volunteers for the third specific review has already been published, and we still have no operating standards. And there's a discussion on the scope of the who is review, registry directory service review. And actually, it's not clear how to solve this dispute. No. So that was one of the things that, for me, it was a surprise on this webinar. Bart has prepared a fact sheet, operating standards in relation to specific reviews. So Bart, may I give you a tour? More detail from that.
Yeah, thank you, Katrina. So in the Adobe room, you see an overview of just basic information around the operating standards. So so that's different items. Is it scrollable? I'll make it scrollable for everybody. So different items, I've identified different items. And what the operating standards look at, the reference to the section in the bylaws itself, and then some issues that are supposed to be addressed, and or some comments, questions around this. So the first three columns, or the first four columns, are more factual. The fifth and the sixth are more say, of a common question like. So the first, the definition of operating standards, this is where you can find it in section 4.6a. So this is all related to specific reviews. So that section in the bylaws is about specific reviews. Definition, how they should be developed, that's important as well, because they should be developed through a public comment process, procedure, that's one, and some with an opportunity to comment. So, and this is one of the reasons to raise it at this call. It might be of interest of the GRC to look at them at one point, because they clearly relate to appointment and selection of candidates, etc., and how they fit in. Guidance of selection process, this is what I've alluded to, and this is where it becomes interesting. The next couple of points becomes interesting for the upcoming specific reviews. So that's not just the, say, the security, stability, and resiliency review, so SSR 2, but also ATRT 3 and the DRS or WHOIS review. The operating standards are supposed to provide details on the conflict of interest and practices, how to deal with them with respect to, say, of the members of these review teams. This internal decision-making of a review team, and this one is particularly interesting because at one point, say, it's unclear who is supposed to define the scope of a review. There are some who say this is the explicit role of a specific review team itself, but if you want to do this, you need to agree up front to a decision-making process, how the different members weigh in on the decision-making and on the scope, the definition of such a review team. Again, without the operating standard, there is no clear definition and description of the decision-making team. And then the guidance on external panels, external experts. As a result of the, I would say, working stream one and the inclusion of the different reviews in the ICANN bylaws, there is now room for external experts to be appointed by the working groups themselves or the review teams themselves. However, it's linked to the provisions in the budget and how this is done, etc., and how the appointment process is run is, again, defined in the operating standards, and there is none. As there are no operating standards, it's unclear how a review team could appoint external experts. I think, especially with respect to the SSR, the confidential or lack of confidential disclosure framework might become problematic. Again, this should be included in the operating standard and scope management. What I just discussed. So these are just elements from the bylaws that need to be taken into the operating standards and that directly impact the functioning of a review team, with three review teams underway, and then the effectively four. You got the consumer one, which is running currently. Say that the next review will be probably in 5 years. So, on one hand side, you could say plenty of time to develop the operating standards. At the same time, with all these different review teams currently underway, it might be a wise thing to have guidance at this stage already to avoid a continuous discussion around how they should function and a divergence in ways they function. That's with respect to the operating standards. Thank you, Katrina. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Bart. Are there any questions, any comments? Yeah, well, that's well, I can understand some of the arguments used David, I see. Please.
Thanks, Katrina. David McCauley. I have to admit this had escaped me. It wasn't on my radar screen. So if I could ask you or Bart, you know, is there still time for the GRC, for the Guidelines Committee to get involved? I'll take a look at the link that Kim put in the chat, see where we are. But I'm just curious what next steps are for this effort. Thank you.
This is Bart. You go ahead, Katrina.
No, it's fine. You can go ahead.
Okay. Let's say, first of all, I believe there is a discussion in Copenhagen around the next steps around the operating standards. So the first one, say, was the webinar organized, and then the next step will be a discussion around the operating standards in Copenhagen. And this is a point in time where the GRC could get involved, or in the near future when a round of public comments or input is requested on the operating standards. So that's the more formal way. The other side of it, this is just one aspect of the implementation of the 1 October bylaws, which is directly affecting the, I would say, the community and the way it functions under the new bylaws, and not just, and maybe broader also, I would say the whole ICANN environment, how it functions. It is potentially a point of discussion with the other groups as well, because if I go back to the discussion, and I was present at the webinar that Katrina alluded to, say other communities do not have this on their radar screen. We are a bit like, in the sense of, say, Katrina and others are the only ones, say, from the CCNSO, who are only ones who are raising this point over and over again, that we need to have these standards in place before, say, these specific review teams should move on. Because it's the risk of divergence, etc. Does that answer your question?
Yes,
David?
Thanks. Yeah, so there will definitely be a session in Copenhagen, but there's no text to comment on yet. There's only, if you see the slides from the webinar, you see that there are just, it's just an outline, some plan for the document. I'm not saying that there's no text yet. Maybe there is, but I think it's not publicly available yet. At least I haven't seen anything really put on paper or computer screen or that screen. Okay, so... if there are no more questions about this part, then we can, we have to decide about our next steps. Well, first I would invite you all to go to the session on that's dedicated to the operating standards in Copenhagen. Let's go and have our antennas ready to receive all the information that can be found wherever. So, any other ideas about next steps? Well, I know I can. Apparently, I will keep raising this question, but I do not have much hope that we can speed up this process in any way. Apparently, it's just moving the way it moves. Yes, Bart, please.
Maybe one question for the people on the call, say, especially for, say, on the one hand side, say, you keep, say, the CCNSO can keep on hammering on these issues and the need for the operating standards, say, but is it just a hobby horse riding in your view, or do you think it is worthwhile to keep on pursuing the creation and say the discussion around the operating standards before we move into the say the review teams, etc. So is it, yeah, it sometimes it's yeah, especially if I look at what say the response from the other SOs and ACs around this point, it's a little bit, or support is there is lacking support for it, put it that way. So do you think it's worth it?
David, please.
Thanks, Katrina. David McCauley. Good question, Bart, whether it's worth it. Since I'm just getting into this, I'll say that I'll have to reserve my answer to that, but I suspect it could be. But I think at the very least, it requires some involvement, because these kinds of processes can actually undermine bylaws. In other words, this is sort of where it's almost like the legislative process, where a legislature passes a rule and then a bureaucracy takes it and sort of shapes it and forms it. And so a lot can happen there. And I think it's in our interest to be involved and to make sure that the standards don't undermine things that we might think are important in the bylaws or shape them in a way that we think is inappropriate. So I think it requires involvement, and as for worthwhile, I'll have to hold my comments, and I will get involved in this. Thank you very much. Good question.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, if not, let's move forward. Stephen is not here today, but I can assure you that he's working very hard and has some first outline for the upcoming guideline on rejection actions, and at the same time, he started thinking about approval actions as well, because apparently we'll need a one by Johannesburg meeting, or well, something around that meeting. Not much here. David, you're absolutely right. Stephen is an expert. He's an expert icon Bible too, and which means something, and it's really not so easy to understand what's written there. At least for non-native speakers. Next, we have update on travel funding discussion. As you may remember, we have had the discussion during council call, and I think more or less I told you about the result of that discussion, and currently Nigel is working on email to the CCNSO council to initiate discussion about the number of slots we actually want. And then, first we'll have to see how this discussion proceeds, and then, depending on the number of seats that we will go for, we will understand how it all can be distributed. And probably, we'll need to show that in the guideline as well. So, currently, that guideline is on hold. But there is another guideline, which is council elections. We would discuss a little bit on that, and we have some comments from Alejandra, and I think these are very good suggestions as well. For example, I like this valid nomination, valid candidate. I think that valid candidate is somebody who has been nominated and seconded. Because, well, I think it's very difficult, makes the guideline more difficult to read when you say that. Oh, candidate who has been nominated and seconded, seconded and accepted the nomination, it's much easier to say valid candidate, and we define this valid candidate as somebody who's been nominated, seconded, and also accepted the nomination. We still have some more comments there. I would like to invite you all to go through the document and comment, propose new wording, and just look at it, because now it's a cleaner version of the guidelines. Okay, anyone wants to say something about this guideline? Any immediate comments, or you'll want some 1-2 weeks more to look into the document? All in all, anyway, we will discuss it with the community in Copenhagen. Okay, David will look into it. And okay, so let's put it as on our to-do list. To go again through the document. This is a really important guideline, so it's okay to spend some extra time on it to make sure that everything is in order and everything is good. Okay, that's about the council election guideline. Is there any other business? Any other things you'd like to share with others? Okay, Alejandra doesn't want to say anything. I'm really surprised. No other business. It's about next meeting. Next meeting we'll have a face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. Should we invite somebody from the staff, like Samantha or Lars or somebody else? Do we need somebody? Anyone you want to meet? Angelina Jolie? No? Brad Pitt? Oh, Eduardo wants Angelina. Oh, I knew that. I knew that. Jesus Christ, those men. Ugh. Okay. Anything you'd like to discuss during face-to-face meeting, something that usually is not on our radar, but needs to be discussed during face-to-face meeting? Nope, no ideas, nothing. Somebody will want to join remotely. We'll have this remote participation available. So everybody will be there in person. I'm glad to hear that. Martin will not be there. Will you join remotely?
Hi, Katrina. No, I'm afraid I will not be able to join remotely. I'll be sitting on an aeroplane at the time.
Going somewhere nice.
But I will read it. An ITU meeting?
Oh, yes. Very nice. Yep. You traded us for ITU. Okay, so if nothing nothing else, then thanks a lot for being on the call and for the discussions. Going to the ITU meeting, see you all in Copenhagen Sunday, 1:45. Can't wait. So have a safe trip to Copenhagen, and well, just meanwhile read the guidelines. The next call will be 2 weeks after Copenhagen meeting. So I'll tell you the date, and so we have a meeting on 27th March. Yep, does it sound okay? Yes, 27th. Martin will not join again. ITU, I suppose. Okay, that's still ITU, yeah. Okay, so thanks a lot, and see you all either in person in Copenhagen or on our calls. Again, safe trip. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.